you, Lord. There we go. Now we got her functioning. Hallelujah. I want to make sure we have the words that God provides.
So what would you point at if somebody said, I want to see the temple of God? Okay. Now, question is, if we're saying within us, then hopefully we're advertising properly.
Yes.
that we are. I wonder sometimes, you know, there's a lot of talk of rebuilding the temple in Israel. But I thought I would show you the rebuilt temple of people. So I only got two books there. If you've got my book, otherwise I'll give you the scriptures. And I saw Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. This scripture's given as many different interpretations as you can probably come up with for, like, instantly a snap of the fingers and there's a new heaven and new earth. But in the New Testament, we, his followers, he says, rejoice, O ye heavens. He refers to us as heavens. And surely, I would believe that the type of what we're about to see here and the rest of the scripture supports the fact that he is trying to show us what's going to happen to finish out this phase of God's plan. Verse 2 says, And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In Revelation 19:7, it says that the bride hath made herself ready. But we also see in Revelation 4:1 that there is a catching up into the throne room. And I think the symbolism is that God recognizes that, just like we've been saying, that we can't fix ourselves, but let him get us alone with others, and he can do a mighty work in our lives. He can get us distracted from all those things that distract us. And you know that when he said, as a bride adorned for a husband, he uses the Greek word that means consummated one. So it's not betrothed, consummated.
Does he ever use the word betrothed anywhere?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's in different spots, it's mm-hmm. betrothed and others?
Even to her. Ooh, that was close one.
Yeah.
Maybe if you pulled it just a little. There we go. I'll put my now I'm getting hot.
That's what we want. We want to keep you warm.
That hot chocolate will do it. Now, so again, let's go down just a little bit further, and then I want to show you all the scriptures that supported that this day was coming. In verse 19, 22:19, we start seeing the same thing again, but with a little bit better qualification. It says, he warns us that if we try to manipulate this revelation to take away the sting, we stand in jeopardy of losing our part in the city. So, it's going to be a time of intense tribulation in people's lives. Don't fix them. That's what he's saying. Don't correct them. Don't let him have his way with them. And because that's the only way this temple can be built. I guess most of you know that the New Jerusalem is the bride. And the fact that she descends, even though she's here, descends out of heaven, lets us know that she stepped into a spiritual realm to be perfected. Because when she steps into this world again, she is without spot or blemish. Now, some quick scriptures here, because I want you to see how God had laid this out a long time ago. 2 Corinthians 6:16, if somebody wants to get that one. And 1 Peter 2:4-5. Okay, so.
If I read the Amplified, sorry?
Yeah.
Okay. The Amplified is, what agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell and with and among them, and will walk in and with and among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
And so, we have now a fresh definition that we are.
We are the temple.
We are the temple. But more than that, we have the understanding that we will represent him. This is not a status. This is not, you know, you're not gaining something here. This is the hardest thing when you're teaching, because the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit's moving, fills in the gaps. But here we're doing teaching, and in this it's hard to fill in the gaps. But he really, as you read this, he's making the point that I'm going to let her. She and I are going into the garden together.
Yeah.
It's time to go in and pick the garden. Now. Who had 1 Peter? Anybody look that up?
Come to him then, to to that living stone which men tried and threw away, but which is chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ.
So now he's broadened this, being not just are we personally temples, but we are the building material for an even greater temple. We are the living stones. And he's promised that he's going to build up the temple again that has fallen down. And Ephesians 2:21 and 22.
In him the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously, and it continues to rise, grow, increase into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. In him, and in fellowship with one another, you yourselves also are being built up into this structure with the rest, to form a fixed abode, dwelling place of God in and through the Spirit.
Couldn't get any clearer than that, could it?
That's super clear.
So, let's look then at some sideline scriptures that affect this. Hebrews 3:6.
Hebrews 3:6.
Scripture y'all are familiar with. Anybody?
Okay. But Christ, the Messiah, was faithful over his own father's house as a son and master of it. And it is we who are now members of this house, if we hold fast and firm to the end our joyful and exultant confidence and sense of triumph in our hope in Christ.
So, you may say, I don't know how to be part of this building. I don't know what it's going to take. Well, he's saying here, you don't have to. If you'll just hold on to this promise and faith, you will be a part of it. That's kind of what we were talking about a little bit last night. All right, how about Haggai
2:7-9?
Yeah.
I will shake all nations, and the desires of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty.
translation is that?
That's the NIV. You want the Amplified?
No, I'm going to go with... I'm an old King James.
You're a King James? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't bring my... Yeah,
King James, do you want me to see it?
Huh?
Yeah, King James right here. You want me to read it?
Yeah.
And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts.
It's better. The emphasis is on a latter house.
Yeah.
And the promise that it's going to be the greatest of all temples. And of course, as we see right now, it's going to be a temple of people.
Yeah.
There are several reasons why God wants his temple on earth. Because as I said before, where would you point out a temple right now? Well, you'd point to yourself or something. But they must be able to find him. That's what it says. It says so that men can pursue him. So the temple comes, so there's an obvious presence of God on the earth. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, somebody's got that.
Time came when Christ the Messiah appeared as a high priest of the better things that have come and are to come. Then through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with human hands, that is, not a part of this material creation.
I don't like that translation either, still.
Pardon?
Yeah. Sometimes... There's so many options in translation that if the people that are writing it have no idea what's being said, and they're left with choices. Like in this case, what he's really saying is that there are going to be many greater things to be had through this new temple that he's created. In other words, the corporate bride is going to be the access to the whole new millennium. It's going to be the access to God himself. It's going to be our new day. But he's got to get that temple built, which is the individual parts. Go ahead and read this scripture.
But Christ being come, high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building.
Go ahead, read one more.
Neither the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spots to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Amen. So we've got this... got a dispensation coming in which everything we know of and everything we know how and everything we expect it's all going to change. I mean, like, all you have to do right now is look, whether it's Japan or the Middle East or wherever, China, any place, and there is very rapid change going on there. I mean, every day it's different. And what the Lord is trying to tell us is that he's going to do the same thing, but it's not by our effort. It's by our participation. He is going to make us a temple through which the bride can be born. She will be revealed in that way. And the hardest part, the other scripture I meant, is that since things will be getting harder, is to just hold on. I mean, it's a matter of holding on. It's not a matter of accomplishing. It's a matter of not letting go. The destiny's established. He's promised to finish it. The only thing that can happen is if you let go and walk away from what God has for you. And that's not an issue of salvation. That's an area of election. Questions? Comments? That was some of what I wanted to get out last night. Excuse me. What I thought I would do, and I know it's been a while since I've actually taught a thunder, but I thought it would be kind of nice to show you where all these representations are coming from, show you where all the types and the shadows are. And turn over to Revelation 6, 1 and 2. That is the beginning of the first thunder. Now, if you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, thunders are segments of each number brought together to form a unit. So all the ones, there's five groups of seven. All the ones are studied together because that's a unit. The twos, they're studied together. Three. When I got a blueprint that showed me that anonymously, and didn't even have commentary on it. Just all I had to do is it. And when the first column just rose up off the page, and the Lord said, "There's your first thunder." And so I began to look, and they're themed. And they could be 10 chapters apart, but the very essence of what they're saying is the same thing. So that's the way the story builds, without all the confusion of, you know, well, these people get killed, and then these people go to heaven, now these people get killed. And you heard pastors and them try to justify a lot of it, saying, well, this one was in heaven. This was the view from heaven. This was the view from earth. And honestly, I have tried to follow some of that, and I couldn't. Okay. This is one of the most important foundational covenants in Revelation. It says, "And I saw when the Lamb," that's the Lord, remember he's the only one that can open the book, "and the Lord opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder." Thunder represents revelation, the voice of God. One of the four beasts, the first is a lion, said, "Come and see." Now, verse 2, what did he get to see? And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Dispensationalists have a hard time with that scripture because they've never seen Jesus with a bow. But they have seen God with a bow. That's promised that he'll not destroy the earth again through water. And here he's saying, I'm coming to destroy. I'm coming. I've got a battle plan. I am coming, and I'm gonna destroy something. Now let's find out what it is he's going to destroy. This is Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. So the first angel sounded, and there was hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees, which was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Boy, I'll tell you what, you read that one, you go, oh my. But again, in the symbolism that it's written, hail represents a judgment. And that's where he's used it over and over to send judgment. So he's sending hail. And he's also sending fire, and we'll see why. And he's also sending blood. Hail, fire, and blood. But look at where they're cast. Look at the object. Look at where they're going. They're going upon the earth. Our earth. Our earth. And really what you've got here is this is a way that the spiritual spots... He's going to have a time of dispensation where, like I said, the spiritual spots we won't be able to live with. And he, fortunately for us, has a good way of making us not want to. Because not only does he burn away these spots, but the blood, he applies the blood, which brings Christ's presence into the person's life too. So... it's a way of being transformed for those that are willing to face judgment. Judgment begins at the house
of the Lord.
And that's where this is happening right now.
Yeah.
He says the third part of trees was burned up and all the green grass was burned up. I'm gonna tell you, if you just think that burnt up is negative, then you miss this. Burnt up means, just like Wade says, well done, well done.
Yeah.
Okay. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, it says, and I will bring the third part. Interesting phrase. He's just used that again. I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. So back over here on the third part, he's saying, and the third part of trees represent men walking, was burnt up, meaning that these people that God is doing this work in, is refining, will have such an impact on those that are not yet saved or not yet sold out to God, that they too will want what it is that we have. And in this case, he's basically saying, you know, we'll tell them and we'll guide them to who it is, but it's up to them. Does anybody have anything to share?
seems like some people, it's just overwhelming for them to ask me what's going on different in my life. It's like a burning desire to know what has changed in my life. Is that what it means or no?
Yeah, well, that's the right direction, sure.
Okay.
Because they realize that's not a natural response. So they're curious at why you're acting differently.
Because especially my sister came here to pick me up, and she talked to Camille and said that I changed very drastically.
Good.
Since July. And I just was wondering, because you're saying the burning, it's almost like she had to know what was changed in my life.
The closer we draw to him, the more of him there is working through us, the greater that manifestation is going to be. I've been sitting in restaurants. People just come up and say, you've got something I need to hear. You know, I was walking out of a restaurant one day, past the guy, I'm going in, he's coming out. He turned right around, came and opened the door, and got me just as going in. He says, "You have the words of life." You know, it's just, it's sometimes I think it's angels playing, you know. But he, that's what he wants to do. He wants us to get into this mode of confirmation, to walk with him in this way, so that it becomes second nature for us to be different. We are renewed. Do you have something? Did you have something to share? Anybody else?
And even my 5-year-old granddaughter asking how to pray and how to talk to the Lord. So, you know, I wasn't seeing it until you just said that, like the burning and stuff. I mean, I saw it a little bit, but compared to, it just makes a lot more sense.
Well, we know that we like to refer to our difficulties as spots, you know, because the term came up with spots on the love garment, and yet we're to be a bride without spots. So a lot of people focus on trying to be spot-free, which is a kind of contradiction in terms, because it's like trying to pull yourself up off the ground. You can't do it. So I was trying to see how do these spots multiply? And indeed it says, "Woe unto us in this hour, for Satan shall come down among us, knowing his time is short." I don't give Satan any power, only that you want to give him. But I do recognize, though, that he wants you to fail. And I want to pull this out and show you that you should not fail.
I'd like to share something that came in during the night. I didn't know if I was to share it, but it's bouncing in, and I went and grabbed my Bible, and it went right back to where I was early this morning. I went to Job 23 because I kept hearing it in my heart. And there were several verses that jumped out, but one of them was quite important, because I think sometimes we look at what's happening in our lives as a hopeless situation. every child that I have brought up, I brought up my own sons and I brought up my two grandsons, I also learned that I needed to adjust them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Adjusting. Sometimes when I would adjust them, they would feel like I was giving them fire because I wouldn't let them get involved in what they were involved in, etc. Job is being questioned, but he is replying in this particular chapter, and he makes a declaration that I think some of us need to make just to get stability in the midst of the fire or the storm that you're in. Verse 10, but he knows the way that I take when he has tested me. I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips, and I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. In other words, something has been given to him as a word from the heavens, and he's aware that he's being tested. His body is in a tormented space, somewhat where you've walked, and I've walked some of those places in my past. And I'm not looking to advertise how well I came out. I am, however, aware that every test was usually, I knew ahead that it was coming. Anybody got relations? You know you're about to go into a test. Job was involved in a test. Everybody looks at him as a hopeless case. But I remind you that he was aware that he was being tested. And I'd like to kind of give you verse 15 because I think that was part of my reactions. And he says in verse 15, that is why I am terrified before him. When I think of all this, I have feared him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face. In my experience, each time I've come through a test and I look back, I see a different person. I see a different personality within me because my old reactions are not what they are now. I have gained something from that test. I used to hate the idea of another test. I used to try to run from it. Now I've gotten a little wiser and I say, okay, God, what are you going to burn up this time? And I think that'll give you an idea of what that fire that he's describing. It's going to chasten you in one sense, but it's going to purify you in another sense. So depending on if you're looking at your fleshy attitude, you're trying to survive in the midst of a big problem, even though you're being tested, you will come out as gold. And if you remember the original temple, they were commissioned. The Holy of Holies was wood, but it was covered with gold. The outer court was the place where you could just do just about anything you want. The holy place, another level. But the Holy of Holies is covered with gold, and that's your future. So you're definitely going to be a tree, wood, covered with gold. So out of your test and out of the fire, you will come out. You got a big smile on you.
I was given a word for man this morning. I think it's for all of us.
Well, why don't you pour it out?
It relates to this.
It does relate to this? Okay, go.
I received that.
It's all yours, sir.
And this is a little tricky. But backing up to where I was in terms of how is it that it just seems like we don't make much progress with the spots. I mean, they move around on us, you know? Well, in 2 Peter, chapter number 2, start reading at 6. And turning the city Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. In other words, you know, you hang out in Sodom, you're going to burn. that's a simple side of it. And he delivered just Lot, and of course we know what happened to his wife. Now, this is where I want to get down to. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise governments. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are much greater in power, might bring not railing against the accusations against them before the Lord. These are brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. Speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, blameless, sporting themselves on and on. Let's just stop there. I see that there are dichotomies working within churches now. Compromises. Situations where, well, we want to be a seeker friendly, or we want to be open to everybody, and we may have somebody come in that is constantly got a problem with the pastor or with somebody else. God's saying, look, there's not time anymore. You have to speak the truth to love, because these things multiply. You get one person, it's moving that direction, and pretty soon the whole body's in turmoil. Because it is that Jezebel spirit just working to divide. And you have to decide yourself, this is not a legalistic mandate, you have to decide yourself that obviously if there are those who are constantly taking you off track when you're in your teaching, or constantly looking to take the front stage, or constantly always in need, you know, and never giving, you just got to, you know, work with them. But if they can't be worked with, they're a distraction to the calling that God has in your life. Because in the same amount of time, you need to be worried about it. You know, what God's doing in you, you're worried about what God's doing in others. I hope that wasn't too harsh, but it's in there, and it came from when the Lord showed me that spots, there are two ways to get rid of spots. One way is as you draw closer to Jesus, and the other way by the authority of his word.
You're saying then that when you see a spot that's refusing the fire, you use the authority of his word to them.
I would say that, but he gives another scripture that kind of just blows that idea out of the water. Which he says, and saving some from the fire.
Yeah, 2 Timothy.
Right. In other words, it's just not in them. There's foundationally, they can't endure the fire. That's why I say you have to work with them. It's a smorgasbord. We're all so different. We all have so many different issues. So we just, you can't deny maturity. I'm speaking to mature people here. And I'm saying, if they're trying, but it just doesn't go anywhere, then the best thing that you can do is deliver them out of the fire. Console them. Whatever it is they need. There's something they need before they go back in the fire. See, a lot of people, especially abused people, they tend to take the whole concept of chastening and that to a personal level with the Father.
Yeah.
It's like he's displeased with me. And if you don't see that this is an act of love, you don't see Jesus in it.
That's a hard place to come out of. It's taken a lot of deep looking for me to come out, because I had such abuse as a child that would keep coming. And it takes just a great amount of seeking the Lord and getting the truth. And you have to love the truth enough to be willing to go through that mess. But that's a hard place to be.
Yep. None of it's easy, but it's just guaranteed.
Yeah. I think the Lord wants me to say something. What I'm going to say is very different than what you've been talking about. Woke me up at 3:30-ish morning, and he took me back into the 80s. And my relationship with the Lord, it's all about a love walk with the Lord. Like I said yesterday, nobody ever told me about salvation or anything like that. Until I had a picture of the Sacred Heart and then asked them, take my hand, Lord, and show me the way. And he did. And that's when he appeared to me at night. And the light in my room was not like when you put these lights on. It's like come on, Lord. I call it a honeymoon with the Lord. I became like a child. I used to, when I had, it was time for me to eat, I would set a plate right across from me for Jesus to sit down. And I was going through a hard time with depression that runs in the family. My mother had a nervous breakdown. I had a sister that was in a mental institution for a while. And it was so bad. And for 1 year, I couldn't sleep. The anxiety was so great. I would go into a church, and I would have to come out with claustrophobia. I couldn't stay there. And my heart was beating like 140 a minute. And when I went to a specialist, a heart specialist, and told him that, he says, it can't be. So he took my blood pressure, and he says, few doctors will tell me, I never seen a person as nervous as you are. So, like I said, it was when you had gone to sleep. When I was walking, I didn't even feel my feet on the ground. It was like I was elevated. So I would go to bed at night, and one night I had a desk there with a chair, and I would pull a chair, looking towards me, and I would ask Jesus to sit down. And then I just said to him, I call him Sweet Jesus, or Beloved Jesus. I never call him Jesus alone. And I asked him to sit down, and I said to him, Lord, you know that I haven't been able to sleep for 1 year. Can you please take me in your arms and put me to sleep? And I was on sleeping pills, tranquilizers. Well, took about 2 minutes. I started relaxing. I fell asleep. Until today, I never took another sleeping pill. And like I said, everything I would ask him, it was like while I was awake, I was always talking to him. There was nothing I wouldn't do for him. Because I tell him, I tell my son, the Lord showered me with his love. And he said, Ma, he has drenched you with his love. I didn't even know, I couldn't even think of that word to say. And my relationship with the Lord, it's been about love.
But was it his love that burned the need for medicine to sleep? Do you see that as love coming into your heart? And burning all of that anxiety out of you? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about stress, difficulties, hardships, hopelessness, where you couldn't sleep for a year. He came. He burned up the need. Whatever was pushing you and pulling on you, and fear and tactics of anxiety and the heart problems, all of that was what? Spots. The fire came. He came to you as fire. It was consumed. It was burned away from you. And you've never needed the medicine since. That's what he's talking about. So the end result is what?
To me, it was a miracle.
There you go. So now what he's describing is he wants you to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. We're going to be going through more of this. In other words, are there other areas in your life that are hard? If you offer them up to him, he'll come to you again as fire. You've already had an example. He showed you how he got rid of the problem in the 80s. Yes? Mm-hmm. That's what you're beginning. You said back in the 80s, that's where he took you. How did he consume the mess then? By his fire. Okay, my friend.
But what I want to say is, it's a person, because he's known, the Bible tells us he's known as a person, right? You know what he says. If we really love him, like I say, I was in my honeymoon. He will love you right back. And I can't explain it. Like, anything I would ask him, no matter if it was healing, or favors, he never said no to me.
What would you do if he said no?
Nothing. I figured that if he said no, there would be a reason for it.
And like I mean, I heard is you established the fact that he loved you so much because he never, he always answered your prayer.
Yes.
Okay. Then you're in a situation that if all of a sudden you're not hearing from him, which we all walk through at some point, and he is afar off, so to speak, how then do you pursue him? I mean, in the Song of Solomon, you know, he just put his hand through the lattice work saying, look, here I am and I'm leaving. You know, come on. And she didn't want to come. But she thought better of it and she came.
But, I don't love him less, and I don't think he loves me less. I'm just trying to explain how great is love for us.
I think we're all there.
And I'll never doubt his love for me.
Good.
But
I think you've said this. You. I get the impression. I understand. I'm with you. You love him, and you're not going to let that go, and that's great. But just to repeat it more makes some people feel like maybe they're not loving him enough.
I like to say it's miracles. I was coming from New Jersey
Let me ask you a question. Would it be all right if the story that you got, that we could save it to the end?
I didn't hear that.
Would it be all right if to save the story to the end?
He'd like to finish the teaching.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Now, that doesn't mean don't jump up and please do add anything you want to it. But, you know, test, what will you say at church is Monday's testimony night.
Yeah.
I love the fact that my Bible looks like that. Sometimes it's like hieroglyphs. I wanted to talk about an issue that that keeps coming up in my life, and I hope that as I share it with you, then it can give light, some light to what's happening in your life. We talked a little bit about preferring one another, and that's a hefty thing, because it requires first someone, you've got to be looking, so your mind has to be after Christ, so you're looking. Two, you've got to have enough love and enough faith in this process working that you get up and act on it. And thirdly, after getting up and acting on it, you keep it in the purity of while you're there to edify that one. Not help him. I mean, he may need a building built or whatever. And you do that. It's just like Jesus, he did these things, but that's not what he's there for. He's there to edify, draw out the Christ in them. And I guess I'm more critical now than I used to be just to things like this, not being judgmental, but just to see that where they break down. And you know, people will constantly, as a matter of fact, there's one situation where guy went to help somebody, and now they're enemies. You know? I mean, because the one that was coming, he felt like he knew everything. See, that was the wrong thing. He wasn't coming to edify. He was coming to point out his expertise.
Yeah.
And so, if the love of God is to be seen, then it has to be a selfless thing. And all of us as Christians know what selflessness is. Matter of fact, most of the time you can look at somebody after 15 minutes and you can tell from their character and their nature whether or not they've been crushed or humbled. I mean, it doesn't take long. And I just hope that we can set a new standard for a real building. I know you're not into quote-unquote building a church, but you would see this congregation increase as that thing took hold. And because it's not just with not just with people who go to church here, it's with anybody. I remember that checking out of Home Depot, I saw a guy's hand was kind of withered up, and he was doing the checkout. And I asked him, I said, can I pray? No guarantees, because I don't want you to think that I'm trying to show off here, but would you let me pray for your hand? He said, yeah. I said, no one's ever done that. So, I don't know if his hand healed later on or not, but there was something planted there.
Yeah.
Anybody to add to it? What time is it?
12:15.
Okay. Tell us about that miracle now, because I can remember the rest.
Let me tell you something. Even though I speak of what I live, I will not speak unless I am inspired by the Lord. I can't, because if I do, I don't think I would explain myself. If I'm not inspired, and I always ask the Lord, Lord, please don't let me say what I shouldn't say, and let me say what you want me to say. You always do that. I do. And right now,
it's not there.
No.
Okay. Would you just join hands with your neighbor, please? Father, we have been given a gift today from many different individuals because this body is being built up a little bit at a time. And I want you to declare with me, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus.
I'm learning that I'm a living stone.
I'm being built up
into a house,
into a house.
Called a temple.
Called
for the glory of God.
Not for the glory of myself.
Pieces added to this house
are
going to be up to you, Lord. You're going to do a mighty work
beyond my expectations.
And you are the Holy Spirit
working from within me
to challenge me.
To let the fire come.
And to burn the chaff.
Everything that's from the flesh
is ready to be burned as far as I'm concerned.
Just give me the grace to go through.
And give my brothers and sisters the grace
that they need
to get to the finish line.
And And the answer will be.
And the answer will be.
Well done.
Well done.
My faithful servants.
Faithful
Amen. I also want you to pray one more little prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, if there's a gift that needs to be given to our brother, give me the wisdom to receive it and then to carry out the commission and obey what the Lord wants done. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. And I want to remind you again that my brother's books are available, and we'll go from there in obedience.